Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Connell McShane joins us now from News Nation. Hi, Connell. Welcome back.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Pretty good. You going to lead with the tariff ruling?
Seems that way at this point, but what time is it? Well, 10:48 you, 11:48 here.
Yeah. So
we have a long time till we start our show, but yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one. I was just looking at it. I actually was just on the air talking to some of my colleagues about it a few minutes ago, and you know, I think that there's no doubt this is a big political moment when a president of the United States makes something his signature kind of policy initiative, and he's used tariffs for pretty much everything, at least as a threat to try to get what he wants. And when the highest court in the land stands up and says, no, what you're doing is illegal, that's a big political moment. I'm uncertain, however, about how big of an economic story it will be. It's been interesting to see a relatively muted reaction, for example, in financial markets today. I think there's other avenues the president can go down if he's hell-bent on imposing tariffs that get away from these emergency powers that the court ruled against. So there's some uncertainty on the economic side, but yeah, big political story, no doubt about that.
He hasn't signaled what that means would be, although the court said Congress can do this. And I haven't heard Mike Johnson or anybody else say, okay, we're going to now impose the tariffs the president wants. So yeah. There we sit. Now, we can't be that surprised based on the oral arguments, but you're right. It's still unusual to see this court go against this president on something this important.
Yeah, important to him. You know, this is something that he had come out and he's been very public about it. You know, this is my favorite word in the dictionary and all that kind of stuff with tariffs. And then even from a policy perspective, not only does he talk about tariffs a lot, not only does he impose tariffs on just about every country you can think of at one point or another, but he uses them for just about every argument he makes. Well, if you don't do this, I'm going to tariff you. If you don't do that. And in this particular case, the court looked at it and said, well, you're trying to use this law from the late 70s, IEEPA, the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, and this what you're using it for may or may not have been an emergency. So the idea that we need to kind of repair our trade deficit, there's people out there, economists, who would argue that having a trade deficit is not always a negative thing, more or less an emergency, right? The president always sees trade deficits as a zero-sum game, that we're kind of losing the game if we have a trade deficit. And then the other one was on the using the powers against, you know, like Mexico and Canada, China, I believe as well, where they're being held responsible for the flow of fentanyl into the United States, where the court also looked at it and, skeptically. So I think, to my earlier point about the market, I think you're right, John. I think a lot of people were not necessarily surprised by the ruling. It still comes as a big moment when it's a ruling like this against a president, but I don't think it came as a huge surprise.
Right. We can tariff these countries for any reason we want, but the we is the Congress. It's not
exactly
the president.
Exactly.
So we'll see what the Congress does, but we haven't heard a lot of signaling that they will line up behind the president, and they've had plenty of time to do so, were that their choice. I also see on News Nation right now that above the fold, if you will, here are the prominent names mentioned in the Epstein files. I don't know how 3 million files were amassed. And what is a file? Is every photograph a file? I mean, that's an insane thing. So we're still... That is, you guys are still going through these, and the journalists throughout the country are. Sometimes people in their basement with a computer are clicking through.
Yep.
You can do that. And so more and more names keep coming out. What's the big story here?
I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than a shakeup of the royal family, which we saw yesterday. I think the difference, or this kind of idea of justice being imposed or consequences being imposed on certain figures overseas, whether it's a former Prince Andrew or Peter Mandelson, who was the UK ambassador to the US, versus what's happening here in the United States and the lack of what people see as consequences, whether it's legal or even political consequences. Like Howard Lutnick, for example, there's been calls from Democrats for the Commerce Secretary to resign. I haven't heard people saying that he broke the law, but I have people saying that he certainly changed his story after saying for years that he had no contact with Epstein, who was his next-door neighbor on the Upper East Side of Manhattan here in New York. After 2005, it comes out that he was communicating with him many times after that. He went to his island in 2012. 2012. So the idea that people like that are not facing the same consequences as people overseas, I think, is kind of an interesting component. And then some of the names that we see coming out are not the big political names, but we're starting to see a couple of names in the legal world. Brett Karp is a big lawyer at one of the big firms here in New York, a multinational firm, ends up stepping down connected to Epstein. And then Kathy Rummler, who was Obama's in the White House counsel's office in the Obama administration and was the top lawyer at Goldman Sachs, ends up stepping down. So this thing is it's far reaching to me. I mean, I think it speaks to a lot of the stories that we cover all the time, that the idea that just regular people see it. And I think there's a point to be made here that powerful people, not only rich people, but rich and powerful people, have this separate set of standards and this kind of separate ecosystem that they operate in, where they think they can have access to things that other people don't get. I think that's kind of what's around this, and you have a lot of public push for more of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think if anything, it's surprising that it's still a story that people have a huge interest in. I think that's one of the reasons they see it as part of this unfair kind of world that, that a lot of people think we live in.
Yeah, although some of them might argue that now it's unfair the way they're being tarnished or forced out. There's this sort of guilt by association. And I've heard the blast radius, if you will, of that as expanding out now, sort of the way it would or did for the Me Too movement. Oh, wait, you knew that person and you did that?
Right.
Here's what I'm after, though, is the demarcation line when it was publicly known that he was trafficking young women. And if you had some association with him before that was known, is that deemed okay? Is anybody keeping score, or is it just, oh, you're in the files, you have to quit now? I wonder how carefully people are regarding that.
I think it probably depends on what your position is and who you're surrounded by to some extent, because a lot of this is public perception as opposed to like legal consequences that people are facing charges. It's just, can they keep their job? You know, are the people who are their bosses comfortable with them keeping their job, or their constituents, if they're a politician, comfortable with them keeping their job? But I think for the most part that you're right. I think the demarcation line has been when it was known, when Epstein was a known, sex offender at the very least, and then even more information came out. If you were still in contact with him, or if you lied about that contact for years, then I think you're probably going to be held to a different standard as opposed to someone who knew him. And, you know, President Trump is in this boat as someone who knew him in the 80s and the 90s. And remember, most of what's come out with Epstein is documents and videos and pictures. And at the time when President Trump was thought to be social with Epstein, whether it was the late 80s or a good part of the 90s, according to many stories, there wasn't documentation of that. And it also wasn't known publicly, at least, who Epstein was in terms of his criminal behavior. So I think that there is a difference for a lot of people there once you get into the, you know, mid-2000s and beyond.
Two other stories that you may be commenting on today, Iran and also the GDP number, which is not as strong as was hoped. Prioritize those for me.
Listen, we might be at war with Iran in a few days or a few weeks, and it's almost like it snuck up on us. How does something like that sneak up on us? This buildup we've had of the military, it's the biggest air power buildup that we've seen in the Mideast since the Iraq War in 2003. And if this goes forward, if the president, who's now reportedly weighing some sort of an initial limited strike, see how the reaction is, and then he would go in heavier if the Iranians don't fold, essentially. If he goes all in here, this could be a big, big deal that lasts for weeks and weeks and puts a lot of American military power into the Middle East with all kinds of potential consequences. So I think that still overrides, you know, a lot of this in terms of stories. The economy, you know, the GDP number, which you're right, it was a slow number, is backward looking by its nature. It's giving us fourth quarter numbers. We're in the first quarter of this year. But I think it goes in with the tariff story to some degree. One of the storylines on the tariffs is that did the Supreme Court kind of do the president an economic favor potentially by helping the economy and eliminating some of these taxes, which will lead to higher economic growth or even lower inflation? And these numbers would suggest maybe the economy needs a little more help than we thought, because, you know, a lot of people thought the economy was picking up and we'd see even higher growth later this year, which we might, but the fourth quarter of last year was slow. A lot of it had to do with the government being shut down and consumer spending having slowed down.
Yeah, I'm looking at the markets now. I don't have the last second numbers, but it's been a somewhat, as you said, muted response. And frankly, I thought this would be a watershed moment. At least so far, it is not. It's always nice to talk to Connell McShane. He's the anchor of News Nation Live with Connell McShane, 2 o'clock this afternoon on Comcast, DirecTV, Dish Network, and everywhere. Okay, Connell, thanks for your thoughts today.
All right, thank you, John.
Take care.